Let's turn now in our Bibles to Amos. Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4, we'll be reading this evening verses 6 through 13. Amos 4, verses 6 through 13. Before we read the word and hear the word preached, let's pray to the Lord. Father, we give you praise and how you work together in your providence, the word that we need to hear. And we praise you that you are the God who reminds us over and over and over again of the gospel that we must hear daily. And really be reminded of it every moment of life. Pray that you would do that again here. That you would shine a light into the darkness through and by your word, even into our hearts, which have remaining sin or are full of sin. And so, Father, cause us to see Jesus, for we need to see him. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Amos chapter 4 and verse 6. And it says, these are God's words. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. And is his word. Last Lord's Day, the Lord keeps speaking by His mercy and grace to Israel, the northern kingdom. He keeps speaking that He would hear and turn back unto Him from the wayward path. That is, Israel would turn back unto Him from the wayward path. Remember that this is the prophet speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel, and promising that the Lord's judgments will come. We heard last Lord's Day in the beginning of chapter 4, the wealthy, earlier in Amos, sorry, as the wealthy in Israel, the ruling class, that is, the kings, the leaders of Israel, they have oppressed the poor. And then we learned last Lord's Day at the beginning of chapter 4, so too we learned the wives doing this. And in all their religion, which is great outwardly, external religion, the Lord showed that it was just an empty religion. that gains them only destruction, and on this earth being exiled or carried off into exile by the Assyrians. Empty religion, we heard last Lord's Day. This evening we continue in verse 6, and we see for our time Israel's stubborn unrepentance. Their stubborn unrepentance. And sometimes in the church you will find those professing faith in Christ, and yet they're blind to the ways of the Lord. And one proverb says that there are none so blind as those that do not want to see. There are none so blind as those that do not want to see. And Israel fits that proverb well. They are so blind that they don't want to see themselves. They don't want to see what the Lord is doing to them and for them, and what He, as the faithful Lord, promises to do. They don't want to see it. God's people have been reminded of their moral and social and political and religious sins. Israel had been informed over and over again, not only of her sins, or his sins, as Amos says and clarifies, but so too of the coming judgments. Israel had sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and we can sit here and say the Lord has clearly given them warning of what is coming. But lest anyone object in Israel and says he hasn't, He, of course, continues warning them. We're brought here based on that possible objection to one's most basic awareness. Okay, Israel, you don't want to listen to the word of the Lord. You don't want to listen to the prophets. Then we come to the fact that it's true of every human heart, of which each one knows and is aware of, that we are all mere creatures of a Creator, God, and we live in a world that He has made. Everyone knows this. You deny the Word of God. Well, everyone acknowledges the God who is the Creator. You can shut up your ears and your hearts to His Word, the Word of the living God, but you can never escape creation. And you can never escape providence, the providence of God, which constantly reminds you of the Lord, the Creator. And for Israel, reminds you of the God that you have so wronged, and reveals His wrath from heaven. And that's what we read last Lord's Day, that this is simply Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. They know the truth of God, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And yet we acknowledge that the Lord is speaking here in Amos to His covenant people, His people, not the people of the world. That's how far Israel has fallen. And yet as the people of God, as the Lord speaks to Israel and has warned Israel, they have remained unmoved by His warnings. And so here He's going to remind them of what He has done as the Creator and the God of providence to them, and to warn them of their sins. But before we get to those famous words of verse 12, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel," we must see here that before this God, the divine wrath and judgment upon those who continue carelessly and unprepared to stand before the presence of God. Before we get to verse 12, there are five general judgments brought up. Five general judgments. Now, we heard this morning of the lesser judgments. The Lord sends as warnings and calls for nations and churches to repent of their sins. And you remember, we hear that when lesser judgments come upon a corporate body, like a nation or like a church, that corporate body does not, when they don't turn from their sins, when they don't turn from their erring and wicked way, and they're not corrected but hardened, we learned this morning that provokes the Lord to bring greater judgments. And that's what kind of judgments we might ask. We have not really answered that yet. What kind of judgments? And this goes through the sermon series in the morning as well. Corporate sins provoke the Lord to bring a particular type of judgment. And that is not eternal judgment. We're not talking about eternal judgments here, though that could be applied here. But we're talking here about temporal judgments, judgments that destroy, judgments that bring an end to nations, destroy crops, destroy property, destroy and bring an end to many people's lives, even through some of the lesser judgments that we'll see in this passage. That's what we are seeing in this passage, a rehearsal of some of the lesser judgments that had come upon Israel within the creation that they should have seen and known that this is from the Lord. That if there is no repentance from these lesser judgments and turning to the Lord and faith, greater temporal judgments would come. Right? Because every corporate body, what is true of every corporate body on the earth? Every corporate body is temporal in nature. Right? You think of a nation, that's temporal. You think of the visible church on earth, that's temporal. You think of any individual congregation, that is temporal. And I was reading, I might even pull up my phone here and quote John Owen, but I was reading a quote by John Owen about corporate judgments, and he's talking about how they're temporal, and yet sometimes those same temporal judgments are spiritual in nature. And Owen says there are spiritual judgments also, and they are found among us, and God's taking from us so many faithful laborers in the dispensation of the gospel, in the midst of their days and strength, as he hath done of late years in this nation. Of course, talking about the United Kingdom. But he's talking there, as sometimes when the church as a corporate body has sinned, and there's no repentance, there's no repentance, and there's no repentance, and the warnings come, and judgments come, and no repentance. Sometimes he then takes his faithful ministers away. He takes his word away. Those are some of the temporal judgments that may come to the unrepentant in the church. But here about the temporal judgments, there are five general judgments that he talks about, the lesser judgments. The first one, that there had been a famine, verse 6. It says in verse 6, "And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want or lack of bread in all your places, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." What does cleanness of teeth mean? But lack of bread, right? There's no food going into your mouth. There's no reason to clean your teeth, in a sense, he's saying. The lack of bread is clarified there in the second half of the verse. A famine throughout Israel. And the proper response to a famine is what? Exactly what we see and saw in 2 Samuel 21. Seeking the Lord. Lord, what have we done? Have we done anything? Maybe we haven't ourselves. But what have we done, if anything? And in this case, in 2 Samuel 21, the Lord revealed. And then, because of the sin that had been committed, what do you do? Repent. Turn back to the Lord. A correction of famine comes. A lesser judgment comes. And a total returning to God is needed. Biblical restitution might be needed. Biblical reparations may be needed. Repentance is needed. And what does he say in verse 6? "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." A phrase, as you noticed, hopefully, that is repeated over and over in our passage, right? That teaches us lesser judgments are sent. Famines are sent to bring God's people to repentance. But Israel did not return to the Lord. Israel didn't repent and come back to the Lord. Now who sent the famine? Who sent the lesser judgment? Who gave the cleanness of teeth and want or lack of bread in all your places? I, saith the Lord, have given these things. That's what he says in verse 6. Famine, and yet no repentance. The second lesser judgment, verse 7 and 8. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So the second lesser judgment that he talks about that they had gone through as a nation is drought. They had a drought, withholding rain and not sending rain to many places in Israel. This happens all the time, doesn't it, beloved? It's happening right now in certain places. There are many places recently, not anymore, but there were recently places in Iowa that had very little rain in the last few months. And growing up on a farm, you'd have rain sometimes in one county away, no rain where you're at, and a few miles away, and it would consistently rain there, but it would not rain where you're at, or vice versa. And out west, we know there's a drought. There's been a drought for many years in a row. And every summer, it seems, the government is talking about, out west, and the federal government is talking about, there's not enough water. And places like Lake Mead, shrinking in size, never seen before, at least in modern times. But here, where we are this year, where we're at now, we have ample rainfall, right? We have more than we've ever had recently anyway. A lot of rain, and yet other places drought. All by whom? By the hand of the Lord. Except much severe in Israel, as described at least, maybe because the Lord is making it clear to them, whereas he may not be making it so clear to us, since he's not speaking directly to us. Except for right here in Amos chapter 4. He's speaking very clearly that these things apply to us today. But this comes by the hand of the Lord. The Lord caused it not to rain. He withheld rain. And then he caused it to rain in other places. And we often in this world, we call these sort of things like drought, famine, and the other things we're going to read about, of these lesser creation things that are judgments, lesser judgments, we call them natural disasters. We call them natural disasters. No, they're from the mighty hand of the Lord or withheld by the mighty hand of God. They're not natural as in naturally occurring by themselves, but natural as in earthly. And yet, while earthly in nature, they are sent or withheld from the Lord and by the Lord's eternal decree and providence. And so here, some places, the rains are withheld. And other places, it rained. It even says in the passage, so the Lord withheld the rain 3 months from harvest. Crops off to a good start, perhaps. The roots established, good nutrients are being able to be intake because the roots were established well. Lots of sun and of course, the sun gives nutrients as well, but no rain for 3 months near the end, towards the time of harvest, or 3 months from one point to harvest, no rain. And that's when the fruit of the crop crops really grow and produce themselves. Well, no rain at that time means very poor harvest. And yet we also see by God's mercy, some cities received rain, others did not. And so verse 8, where there was no rain, those people went to the places that had rain to get water, just to drink it. Just to drink it. Think of such a journey. Maybe a city away from you that had rain, maybe 20 miles. In that time, as we look at the map of Israel and that those cities at that time, 20 miles, 10 miles, round trip, that's 20, 40 miles. Just to drink water. It seems like counterproductive, if you're walking the 20 miles just to get water, since you'll need water for your trip. But of course, they were not satisfied, it says. Because happiness, satisfaction, right? Happiness, satisfaction only come from God Himself. And this is the whole point of the living water. John 4. This water does not satisfy, but the living water, that alone satisfies. You have to come to Christ, who is the living water, and you'll be satisfied. But they continue to refuse to do that. So Zechariah 10 verse 1 says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. And so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field." But that would require turning to the Lord, wouldn't it? To pray unto Him. And they would not. They're being judged by the Lord. We might even call it a chastising or a discipline of the Lord. Lesser judgments. And it says again, "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Not even to pray and plead for rain to be able to survive. Drought and no repentance. We had famine and no repentance, drought and no repentance. Verse 9, the third. "I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Right, this is a lesser judgment of the fruit of the harvest, having what we might call blight and mildew, and even the palmer worm, which is a kind of locust, these insects that destroy. We know in our day, same would be in that day, there are root worms that destroy plants' roots and even grasshoppers here in the Midwest right now, or the upper Midwest, decimating some crops this year. Farmers just spray the insecticide, right? And everything is okay. But it ignores what? It ignores the hand of the Lord. And the Lord has brought this upon their crops. "I have smitten you. I have brought these lesser judgments." And what do the people do? I even know, because I know about farming things, that you can spray herbicides and insecticides all you want, and now these herbicides and insecticides, the bugs and the mildews and the things like that that attack plants, now they're becoming immune to these different insecticides and herbicides, and now what will happen in the future if they keep growing immune to these things? And there are many farmers who are concerned about that. And the Lord here says, "I have done this to your crops. I have smitten you. I have sent the lesser judgment." And what do the people do? "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." They turn to their insecticides and pesticides. And they should be turning to the Lord. Joel 1, calling the same from this judgment. He says, "That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth." And when they take away the wine, remember in the prophets, especially in the scriptures, when you take away the wine, and so taking away the blessing, and you're cursed. That's what is described there in Joel. Crop and plant destroyers, and still no repentance. Verse 10, another lesser judgment. "I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword. And have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Beloved, the Lord sent pestilences upon the people of Israel. Like the boils we read about this morning. What does that mean? It means even as it says, after the manner of Egypt. The plagues, right? The plagues we're reading about now through Exodus, and much like what we've already covered in locusts and things like that, the boils, the diseases, right? COVID, diseases, war even. It says, your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. So there's not only diseases and pestilences, there's also war that he sends. The Lord sent war upon them. There are so many who had been slain, and no longer the help of the horse, the bodies of the young men then that laid there in the hot sun far too long, and there is a great stench in their nostrils, is describing their arising. And still, the nation of Israel, the church, as a worshiping people, with the stench of dead, rotting flesh in their nostrils, as a lesser judgment of the Lord, and still Israel did not repent. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Pestilence and war and no repentance. And then the last judgment, lesser judgment, verse 11. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Some of you from Israel have been overthrown, families destroyed. Well, how? It says, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, consumed by lightning and fire from heaven, as the Lord judged Sodom, or in some other way, burnt homes to the ground and affecting the people who lived there. 2 Peter 2, verse 6 says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. So they're an example to the ungodly today, and any of us who would continue in sin. Deuteronomy 29 shares a little bit more about this overthrow. It says, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and in His wrath. Those are places that in the land, the promised land, that had God's people in them, and He overthrew them. As the Lord had brought unto Israel these things, the whole nation and peoples, they would have been spared, Genesis 18, if as few as 10 righteous would have remained in Sodom, if you remember that, with Abraham pleading that. As few as 10 righteous would have remained, the Lord would have spared them. But the Lord took them out and judged Sodom. He took the righteous out and judged Sodom. Others narrowly escaped, those that were taken out, like Lot and his family, when the fire had already kindled upon Israel, and yet you don't hate sin as the more danger was brought to you. You don't love God more for delivering you. What's it say again? Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I did these things, these lesser judgments I sent them, yet ye have not returned unto me. You have not repented. You've not turned to me in faith. The Lord brought the overthrow of some of Israel, and still no repentance. And so these five lesser judgments, they come and they come, and they still do not turn back to me, says the Lord. What does this show, beloved? The destructive tornadoes we have in our nation, or storms, or hurricanes, pestilences, or diseases, like COVID, the wars that come, and the young people of our nation go into those wars and die. And what does it all show? It shows that these are not just natural disasters. These things are spiritual in nature. Over and over it says, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. They're spiritual in nature. You've not repented. This is not to minimize the physical aspects that those natural disasters, the disasters that the Lord brings, not to minimize those aspects and the needs that people have after such things. But we really don't have a problem seeing those things and the needs that people might have. after a tornado or destruction of their property or things like that. We do have a problem seeing that these are judgments from the Lord, spiritual in nature, due to our nations or the churches or whoever, their unrepentance. We love false religion and idols. No repentance. Economics and education cannot define nor solve adequately the problems around us. The Scripture interprets such situations infallibly and provides the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. Even here it says, repent, return unto me. And how do we return unto the Lord? Through Jesus Christ. The warnings from our Lord and the very intricate day-to-day experiences of life and changing conditions of our society are plain for all creation to see. And what would put an end to these judgments and transform society for the better with blessings upon blessings upon blessings? The Scriptures are clear as well that what is needed is a love for God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. The nation needs the gospel. The church needs the gospel. Genuine temporal and spiritual blessing would pour forth beyond measure if this were true. If this happened, and they, the church and the nation, turned to Christ. The fundamental point in all of this is that faith, repentance, and a return to holy obedience and faithfulness to the Lord in union with Christ is what is needed. If there is to be any escape from God's eternal wrath, and of course, temporal just wrath, when we're talking about corporate sins, then there must be repentance. And yet, thus far, what has it said? And what is true of our nation and perhaps in the church? Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And as we learned this morning, this only provokes the Lord to wrath and indignation upon Israel and upon that corporate body. And this shows and proves the Lord is just and right to judge them in such a greater way. Here's all these lesser judgments, and yet you have not turned to me. And so He is just and right to go to the greater judgments and bring those greater temporal judgments upon the nation or the church or congregation. And of course, we can apply this individually too. To you personally, when the Lord disciples you, and sometimes in that discipling, He disciplines you because He loves you, Hebrews 12 says. And when He brings things like hardship in the home and famine around you or loss of job, when He holds off the rain or brings drought, when there is destruction of our livelihood, when there are pestilences and diseases sent from the Lord like COVID, and war, and we see many others overthrown and others destroyed in their bodies. See, the minister was killed this week. Then is the time to examine our own souls and our own hearts where we have sinned individually. And may it not then be said of us, yet have ye, if you've sinned against the Lord, yet have ye not returned unto me. That is, yet have you not returned unto me. For then the greater judgments would come. Perhaps even unto eternal judgments when we're talking individually about one another and ourselves. And how is it then with us? The judgments may be minor now upon our nation. We might consider them minor upon our nation. But there's a reason the Lord sends these lesser judgments. Because there are the righteous still remaining here. And He desires that we repent and turn unto Him. And what happens when we as a nation do not corporately repent? We read verse 12. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee. That is, because I will... And what He has done in the lesser judgments because of what they had done, not repenting. This is what comes. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. When there's no repentance, this is what the Lord will do. When there's no faith looking to the Savior in Christ, nor to Him as Lord of all creation, this is what happens. And the Lord's timing, when the cup of wickedness is full, judgment will come. Israel doesn't know when that is. We do not know when that is for our nation or for the church. The Lord knows. And the Lord says, come, return unto me. And yet, they will not. Perhaps we will not. And therefore, he says, verse 12, therefore, they were the covenant people of God. They professed to be His children, yet they were not satisfied with His Word, the whole Word and nothing but the Word. And since that is true, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. I will bring greater judgment upon judgment upon judgment, that you might make your peace with me and be reconciled unto me through the blood of Christ my Son. Come now and prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Because in meeting the Lord God, there is no remedy. There's nothing you can do when you come before me. There's still something you can do now. Temporally. Upon the earth. Not before me. You can return to me and love me. And that's what he's pleading here, that they would do. But now he says, prepare to meet thy God. Now there's nothing you can do. Because there's nothing you can do when you come before the Lord. Today, beloved, is the day you must turn to Christ. Your days are drawing near for this time when you will meet your God. Individually speaking, you will meet your God. And so consider that this evening. Consider how unable you are to meet Him as one individual who would try to fight with Him. You cannot stand before Him. The corporate body of the nation or the church or this congregation might not repent. Then you, individual, what should you do? Right? What if our nation doesn't repent? What should you do? This is the God of all consuming fire. For you to come before this God and call out your demands and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name and that in your name? Didn't we go to church? Didn't we tell others about you? For you to come before the Lord and meet Him like that, you would be nothing more than briars and thorns before Him who is the all-consuming fire. And you will be burned up eternally and completely. That's Isaiah 27, which calls you to repent. He says, their fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. And so make peace with the Lord today. Through Christ and in Christ alone. Turn unto the Lord for your peace with Him. Consider Luke 14. Consider coming before the Lord today. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? But change the number there and you're one feeble, frail human creature and you'll stand before the Creator of the heavens and the earth against Him. And he's saying here, in some sense, prepare now to meet the Lord. Sit down and consider that battle. The battle with God. The God of verse 13. The Creator. For lo, He that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts is His name. The God of armies, that is His name. And will you come before Him? And so today, in that sense, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. This is the call to this nation. This is the call unto the church. Prepare to meet thy God. Of course, here he's saying to Israel, you're going to meet the Lord. And as you continue in your unrepentance, He will judge you. That's what he's saying here. Well, we can use it in a preparatory sense. Now, we should sit down and consider the battle today. That you will be conquered by Him without even so much as a word from His mouth. And so resolve today, as you sit and you contemplate this battle, resolve today, children, today, prepare to meet your God, and make sure today that you meet Him as a repentant, humble lover of Jesus Christ, and you meet Him in union with Jesus Christ. To meet Him not as the God, the Creator, but as your God. Come humbly before Him today and submit unto Him and turn to Him in Christ His Son. Come today to the Lord and be reconciled to Christ. Make peace, we just saw from Isaiah 27, through His sacrifice on the cross. Since we cannot flee from God, we must be concerned to prepare to meet Him. And therefore He gives us warning that we might prepare even today, as we see these lesser judgments coming in the corporate sense upon our nation and temporal sense, and perhaps even upon the church. Many churches closing, lesser judgments, aren't they? Minister taken away, lesser judgment, perhaps. That's His grace to you. When we are to meet Him in His ordinances, we must prepare to meet Him. Prepare to seek Him. Jehovah, the God of hosts, is His name. For He has His being of Himself and is the fountain of all being. All the hosts of heaven and earth are at His command. And so we are to humble ourselves before this God and prepare to meet Him and give all diligence to make Him our God. For happy and blessed are the people who have Jehovah as their God. Happy and blessed. Right? They're not satisfied here with the water. And so, we are happy and blessed with the living water, Jesus Christ. May we not be those who are stubbornly unrepentant. Our nation might be stubbornly unrepentant, but individually today, do not be stubbornly unrepentant. But be those who seek forth after Christ and keep seeking after Christ and keep seeking after Christ by the Spirit to be those who are often repenting of our own personal sins, and calling for the sins corporately to be repented of, to pray for our nation that they would repent, pray for the church that we would repent, the many rebellious congregations of Christ's church throughout the world and in this nation. And that we as a congregation would keep turning to Christ from our sins, from all of our idolatry, to put that off and to prepare and meet God even now. For the rebellious and unrepentant, the promise here is a day of wrath and judgment. Corporately, as a nation, as a church, for the rebellious and unrepentant, a temporal day of wrath and judgment. There will come to nothing or something like that. For His children, and all who come to Christ's blood, by Christ's blood and sacrifice before the Lord to meet Him, you come by Christ. That is a blessed day to meet the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the outlook of a blessed day as we prepare to meet You, the Lord of hosts. And Father, we pray that it would be so for each one here as we think of it individually now. We ask that You bring salvation to all of Your elect, to all here, if it be Your will. Even of our children, even those in the womb, of those in our congregation, that we would all be ready to come before the judgment seat with joy in Christ Your Son alone. And Father, as we think corporately, we pray for our nation. We pray for the church, the broader church, and we pray for this congregation. That where we sin, that we would turn from it unto You, lest we be like Israel, lest we be like Your faithless, worshiping pagan god people. Rather, that we would be those who love you and those who love to turn unto Christ from our sin, to know that we will receive your mercy and your grace. We are confident in your mercy and your grace in Christ your Son. And so we put our hope and our trust there. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.